ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 1st chapter, text 12. Nashna saha patyam evanam yadhayo apipavanti hi evam yamakrit rajan shanai Kshemaya kalpate nashnata patyam evanam yadhayo bibhavantihi vidhayo abhibhavantihi evam yamakrit rajan shanai kshemaya kalpate nashnata patyam evanam vidhayo bibhavantihi evam yamakrit rajan shanai kshemaya kalpate. Nashnata patyam evanam vidhayo bibhavantihi evam yamakrit rajan shanai kshemaya kalpate. Nashnata patyam evanam vidhayo bibhavantihi shanai kshemaya kalpate. Ashnata patyam evanam yadayo bibhavantihi Atajis. Not. Asnataha. Those who eat. Patyam. Suitable. Eva. Indeed. Anam. Food. Yadhaya. Different types of disease. Abhibhavanti. Overcome. He. Indeed. Evam, similarly, Nyamakrit, one following regulative principles, Rajan, O King, Shanai, gradually, Kshemaya, for well-being, Kalpate, becomes fit. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shukadev Goswami continued, my dear King, If a diseased person eats the pure, uncontaminated food prescribed by a physician, he is gradually cured, and the infection of disease can no longer touch him. Similarly, if one follows the regulative principles of knowledge, he gradually progresses towards liberation from material contamination. Purport. One is gradually purified if one cultivates knowledge, even through mental speculation, and strictly follows the regulative principles enjoined in the Shastras and explained in the next verse. Therefore, the platform of Gyan, speculative knowledge, is better than the platform of karma, fruitive action. There is every chance of falling from the platform of karma to hellish conditions, but on the platform of Gyan, one is saved from hellish life, although one is still not completely free from infection. The difficulty is that on the platform of Gyana, one thinks that he has been liberated and has become Narayana or Bhagavan. This is another phase of ignorance, as stated in Bhagavatam. Yene ramindaksha vimukta maninas vai astabhavat avishuddha buddhaya aruya krichena parampadam tataha adantyado nadrita yushmat angrayaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Because of ignorance, one speculatively thinks himself liberated from material contamination, although actually he's not. Therefore, even if one rises to Brahma-gyan, understanding of Brahman, one nevertheless falls down because of not taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Nonetheless, Jnana at least know what is sinful. Nonetheless, Jnanis at least know what is sinful and what is pious, and they very cautiously act according to the injunctions of the Shastras. Ashnata patyan evanam vyadhyayo vibhavantihi evam yama krit rajan shanai kshemaya kalpate. My dear king, if a diseased person eats the pure uncontaminated food prescribed by a physician, he is gradually cured, and the infection of disease can no longer touch him. Similarly, if one follows the regulative principles of knowledge, he gradually progresses towards liberation from material contamination. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayati grim yat kripatam mahamande shi gurum dinataranam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Narayana Namaskritam, Naram Chavam, Narottamam, Devim Sarasvatim, Vyasam, Tatochaya Mudirayet. Nastabrishu Abhatrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Utamesh Lokir Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Utamesh Loka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishraya Saya Lokasya Danyam Svasta Namahat Krishna Svatam Upakate Dharma Gyan Visaha Kalau Nastas Shamesha Purunar Kutun Oditaha. So, fifth canto is finished. Continue in the sixth canto, describing the chapter of the history of Achamil. So here Shukadev Goswami, he replies on the very inquisitive and very attendant disciples' questions or doubt Maharaj Parikshit. First of all, Maharaj Parikshit, he was all the time very attentive because he had no other alternative. He had clear mind, open senses, no? He had his tongue, genitals, eating, sleeping, drinking, even fully under control. He gave that all up because he was ready to drink the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam from the realized soul and greatest authority of Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami. So Shukadev Goswami, he questioned Shukadev Goswami from the very beginning. So please tell me, what is a dying man? What he should do? How he should act? What he should hear? What he should think? How he should speak? How he should behave? And what he should not do? The whole Bhagavatam is based on these original questions by Maharaj Parikshit to Shukadev Goswami. And because he was very attentive, he was perfect hearer, Shravanam, perfect in Shravanam, Shukadev Goswami, perfect in Kirtanam. So he very attentively heard descriptions of Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami. He mentioned many things up to this point here, sixth canto. He mentioned about, especially in the second canto, how he described the two processes of dharana, meditation. One about the virat, rupa, another one about the more advanced one, about the super soul. Because the point was, the Bhagavatam is the complete science of theology, about Bhagavat, about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so it includes everything what is related to Him and what the Personality of Godhead actually is. And in true sense, nothing is separated from Him. That what seems to be separated from Him is ignorance. It's avidya. And Shukadev Goswami, who had complete knowledge about the Bhagavatam because he heard from his father Srila Vyasadeva, so he very nicely explained the beginning steps, you know, to first of all see God in the universe, and also then ultimately if the mind becomes trained, become more advanced and become absorbed in the heart, in the super soul of the, in the heart. Of course, this was not a process what he actually recommended to Maharaj Parikshit, because Maharaj Parikshit was already a pure devotee of Krishna from very beginning of life, even in the womb. So, but because there were many sages present who were not on the platform of the pure devotional service, and who had many different opinions, like Tarko Pratishtha, Shrutaya, Vibhina, Ashaurishir, Yasa, Matam, Nabinam, so they never have one opinion. If two sages come together, two opinions. If five sages come together, five opinions. If 100 sages are there, now 100 opinions. So everyone was not actually really clear what kind of advice we should give Maharaj Parikshit now, which path to follow. But then Shukadev Goswami fortunately came, who had a clear vision of the path to go. But even he, to satisfy all the present sages, because he wanted to give complete knowledge, so he presented different Vedic paths. That is important. Because the Bhagavatam from the very beginning has to be established on the statements of Praman of the Vedas. Because no Vedic scholars or learned personality would accept Bhagavatam if it is not related to the Veda. And because the Bhagavatam is actually the supreme authority of all the Vedas, It is the Grantharaj, it is the king of all the Vedas. So therefore in the Bhagavatam, naturally everything is based on the Vedas, and even in more clear way, it gives the pure Siddhanta and the pure conclusion in a realized way of the realized devotee, Shukadeva Goswami, so that everyone actually can understand the purpose of Veda. Vedanta Krit Vedavit Eva Jaham. Stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the purpose ultimately of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. So Shukadev Goswami, therefore he mentioned first Virat meditation, then Super Soul, Paramatma meditation. Then he explained, and these are all based on Vedic knowledge. And then he presented the two ways how to become liberated. Two ways. One is direct. Direct, the yogi who is very determined, he wants to go out through the... He's actually Jnani. He's Jnani, because all yogis are Jnanis, unless to come to pure bhakti. They're either Jnani in the beginning, or if they accept bhakti with Jnana together, then it becomes Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Jnana, Yoga, Mishra Bhakti. Because Jnana and Yoga mixed with Bhakti is Jnana, Yoga, Mishra Bhakti. It's not completely pure. It is not that what Gaudiya Acharyas, and especially Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the followers of Lord Chaitanya teached in this disciplic succession. But this kind of a process of jnana related to the Absolute Truth, to Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan, is always beneficial to purify the tamasa, the covering of ignorance of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul is covered by five coverings of ignorance called avidya. So the first is called Tamishra. Tamishra means anger. All living entities are overcome more or less by anger because of senses and the mind. They never can become satisfied and too much contemplation and desires. Therefore the anger destroys and pulls the consciousness of the living entity down to this material existence of ignorance or nations. The second one is Andhra Tamishra. Andhra Tamishra. That means covered living entity or a human being who is in ignorance, he doesn't believe in the transmigration of the soul. Doesn't believe in transmigration of the soul, he doesn't believe in an afterlife. Therefore the sense gratifier or ignorant human thinks, oh, there's only this life, who knows what will be after, most probably nothing. Therefore let's enjoy as much we can by one means or another. So this kind of consciousness or attitude is Andhra Tamishra. Means not believing in the existence after death of the soul. Then the tamas. Tamas is the third stage of ignorance, of avidya. Tamas means ignorance about the existence of the soul. Many people, especially in Christian understanding, is that the soul actually it's temporary, it's a part of the body. So they're not clear about what is actually soul, what is mind. They cannot even distinguish between that. So what we learn from Bhagavatam and from Veda is this knowledge about what is soul, what is mind, what is intelligence, what is false ego, what is the material body. So this knowledge is revealed first. That's ABC in the Bhagavad Gita, and also in the Bhagavatam we find these statements or description by Shukadev Goswami. Because this basic knowledge always have to be repeated, because it is the original disease of the conditioned soul to be afflicted by these five kinds of diseases. Therefore, repetition is needed so that we are becoming aware about it. And especially if one is a sincere student or devotee or disciple, then when one will accept this knowledge and will apply it in his life by following sadhana. Anyway, I will finish with the five points here. So the ignorance of the soul, that the soul is eternal. It has to be clear what is sat, what is eternal, what is asat. That's defined very clearly in Veda and in Bhagavatam. The asat is that what is temporary, that what is created. But the living entity is never created. Na hanyate hanyamani sharire, na chayate namriyate vakadachin. For the soul there is no birth, no death, and therefore it never ceases. So the soul is eternal. It's asat, it's sat. Like the Lord is sat, and we are all part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, therefore the part and parcels are also asat. That's sanatana. Then the fourth stage of ignorance is moha. Moha means attachment to the temporary. Everyone is attached to this asat, to this temporary nature of this material manifestation, and it doesn't see that this material manifestation is actually an energy of Bhagavan, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, actually of the Purusha, who is an expansion of Lord Krishna. And therefore, it is very important that one understands that this material world, in one sense, it is the energy is eternal, but the manifestations are temporary, it's asat. But it doesn't mean that the material energy is bad. We only have to learn how to use the material energy in the service of Krishna. Yabanda Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Uchate. This is the real Vairagya. Not to give up everything, like the yagis and yogis, they're giving up everything. Jnani means they want to give up everything. Neti neti. With intelligence, they try to analyze, the material nature by Sankhya, described in third canto, how to negate and to practically give up ultimately everything what is not directly related to the soul and to the super soul or the Supreme Lord and in relation with him. That means ultimately bhakti. So, and the fifth of avidya is maha moha. Maha moha means the attachment to sense gratification. So that's our disease, and that we are want always to enjoy the senses. And if we can enjoy senses, then we want to enjoy with the mind, the subtle body. And therefore, there are so many allurements, even for the yogi. Even for the jnani yogi who wants to go the indirect path. I already mentioned, as Shukadev Goswami in the second canto mentioned two paths for liberation. One is direct and the other one is krama mukta. Krama mukta, the first mukta is direct mukta and the other one krama mukta. Go step by step. He's like a tourist. He's like a tourist. He leaves this body in one point, according to his own will, because he has his siddha, because his mind and intelligence is absorbed in super soul, and then he leaves the body in appropriate time. Shukadev Goswami, he says, it's not important what time to leave the body for a transcendentalist who is fixed in yoga. For somebody who is attached to karma kandya, or karma yoga, it's important what time to leave the body. Which time is auspicious, which time is inauspicious. But for a fixed jnana yogi, what to speak of a bhakti yogi, it is not at all important what time to leave the body. He can leave at any time, it is auspicious, because he's fixed in the yoga. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, because for a yogi, yogi only takes shelter in the yoga, in the yoga process, that means for him, yoga is everything. He doesn't have to look what is auspicious, what is inauspicious. He only sticks to the regulative principles of yoga. Like for us also, bhakti yoga, the same. The bhakti yoga is the beginning, the middle and the end. It is everything. So if we take shelter in the process of bhakti, in the sadhana, of sadhana bhakti, then ultimately it will lead to raga and ultimately to bhava and then prema. That means sadhana bhakti creates ultimately raga and bhava and leads to prema, because it purifies. It purifies these avidyas, the ignorance of the soul. So, but as I already mentioned, this krama mukta, he wants to go and see, like a tourist, how is Indraloka, how is heaven, how the demigods and the apsaras and the gandharvas living there in their valleys and beautiful gardens. Then he can go to Mahaloka, he can go to Janaloka, he can go to Satyaloka, and ultimately, yeah, Satya, Brahmaloka, where he becomes a devotee of Brahma. And there he can decide either to go there before Brahma leaves, attain liberation, mukta, or he lives there whole life with Brahma together, and in the end goes with Brahma and attains liberation. So that is described in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So how ultimately the mukta can attain even step by step the liberation, but the danger with the step for step liberation is that one can become attached to a certain planet or lifestyle in the higher planets. Or he becomes attached to certain cities. It is stated that on the platform of yoga, the sixth stage after pratyahara is called dhyana, tarana. Tarana means fixation or concentration of the either virat or supersoul. Beginning, this is fictive, it is a meditation, he has not a clear the realization of it, so he puts this picture of the supersoul with the help of his intelligence in his heart, and in this way he starts to worship or meditates from beginning from the feet up to the face. That's the process of the meditation. That's also the process of Bhagavatam, hearing from the first canto up to the tenth canto, what represents the lotus face of the Lord, and the feet represents the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. So and also in the deity worship, if we take darshan, we are learning how to fix our mind in tarana and dhyana, concentration on the transcendental form of the Lord, beginning with the lotus feet up to his face. So the devotees are always taking shelter and Krishna's lotus feet. That's the ultimate goal, the parampadam. Samashitaye pada plavava plavam mahapadam punya yashomurarer pavam buddhiyavatsa parampadam padam 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 yat vipatam natesham. So that is stated in Bhagavatam. If one takes shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, ultimately has the full shelter, sharana, of the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the goal of all yoga ultimately. Then one will this big ocean, fearful ocean of burdened dead, will shrink to the size of hoofprint of a calf. So this material world is dangerous, is fearful, and the devotee, he realizes that, and therefore he doesn't want to follow the process recommended in the Vedas of karma kanda or even jnana kanda. So he wants to go directly, if he is fortunate, meeting spiritual master in this line to come to bhakti. And for stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Tatviti pranipatena pariprasrena sevaya upadekshanti de jnanas jnaninas tatvadashina. So that one has to, if one wants to make progress in spiritual life, one have to learn these signs from the realized spiritual master who has the vision, the jnan, the knowledge, and the realization of that knowledge, the jnan, vijnan. Bhakti, or the process of yoga, is not just theoretical, it is practical, it's realizable, because it's the most near thing to the soul. So these prayers, it's actually in one sense prayers, very dear to the soul. It's the most dear thing to the soul. And as long as we don't find this relationship with the soul, with the super soul, and go in active service to him, chanting, hearing, chanting, remembering him and serving him, then we are in a diseased condition. Then we are avidya. Then we are diseased, as described here in this verse. Then we are in the diseased condition. And the diseased man, what he thinks, oh, now I'm in disease because now I enjoyed so many unhealthy foodstuffs, deep fried. I went to too many, I participated in too many karma kandya, yagya sacrifices, and I got so much ghee products there. Rice, everything deep fried. Or even go to Kali Yagya, eating meat from there. Or to go to Calcutta to some Yagya there, then you get fish and meat. And then you have stomach problem. You feel polluted. Then you consult Brahmana. He consults with Dharma Shastra, Manu Samhita, Yajnavalkya Sutra, Samhita, somewhere, all different kinds, Bhrigu Samhita, the different 18 different kinds of Dharma Shastra. So he's consulting this Dharma Shastra, and the Dharma Shastra tells you, if you did this sin and that sin and that sin and that sin, there is this remedy and that remedy, and you do this penance and this prayaschitta, and so in this way you can counteract it, and you can do crazy things again. You feel good again that you can again do some sin for some time, and then you come again to me, give me some dakshin, and I give you the process of prayaschitta, and so again you can become healthy for some time so that you can enjoy more. So that's a cheating process, of course. Therefore, in yesterday's verse, Shukadev Goswami says, you know, this only the less intelligent person takes shelter in such a kind of process of sinning and then counteracting the sin by taking some austerity or prayaschitta upon yourself, or going on different places to give charity. Therefore many people go to temple, give charity in temple. They go to holy places and pilgrimage and parikramas. Why? It's recommended to counteract sin. But this, therefore, Narottam, it's very interesting, Narottam Das Thakur in his songbook, he describes, what's the use of visiting many holy places?
It's not interesting. It's a waste of time and it's only hard trouble, hard work. It's parishrama. It's parishrama, it's hard work, first of all. And it is not at all give you the desired result. Therefore he recommends the only pilgrimage place if one should visit, you know, is only pilgrimage place where Krishna's pastimes took place. And it's clear, it's only Vrindavan. In Kali Yuga, only Vrindavan. Of course, we have Mayapur, no different from Vrindavan, because Yuga Avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared there. He's most merciful. Radha Krishna appeared in Mayapur. These two places are identical. So that means a devotee who is sincerely wants to make progress in bhakti or in love to Krishna only takes shelter of going on parikrama or visiting pilgrimage place. Like Vrindavan and Mayapur. Navadi. This is recommended. Everything else he told Narottam Das Thakur in Prema Bhakti Chandrika is a waste of time and is a hard labor. So therefore devotees are not interested in the Prayashchitta, and Parikshit Maharaj, he was very much alert, he was attentive, because he was first of all asking how to counteract sin, that we will not fall down to hell. He became overpowered by compassion for those who fall to hell, because he understood, you explained very nicely how to attain liberation. You explained these two paths for liberation, the direct and the indirect, and the meditation about super soul and the virat. It's very nice, it's very clear. But you also explained fruitive activities and where it leads. So he was very attentive. He could remember everything that Shukadev Goswami narrated until up to the sixth canto. He didn't forget. Many times I ask sometimes devotee, what you heard previous day or even in the same day? Many times they cannot remember. Almost nothing. So therefore this remembrance, this has to be trained. But we cannot remember. I analyze why we actually cannot remember. We cannot remember. It cannot stick in our mind, in our heart, because our heart and mind is still so much overwhelmed by so many things that is not related to Krishna. The heat, the cold, relationships, foodstuffs, proper, not proper, the place where I live, money problem, this problem, that problem, sadhana problem, japa problem. So one can have so many problems in the mind, and then the mind, instead that we take the medicine, that we take the diet faithfully, according to prescription, where many times we're not taking it. Or we take it sometimes, if I like, sometimes if I don't like, I don't take it. Or I take only a little of it, and sometimes a little more, and then sometimes I think, I neglected so long time now, not doing everything according to sadhana given by Guru. So then I do more. I do more, because now I'm fired up. And then we do more, and then we think, I'm fired up now. So now I'm really on the track. And then, boom, again comes the boomerang, you know, because Maya is still there. Name, fame, glory, adoration is still there. Attraction is maybe still there to the external. Then again, one becomes attracted to something, and again our sadhana is down. And again we have to build it up. to become steady. So to steady sadhana is therefore the most important thing of a sadhaka who to make progress in devotional service and attraction, what leads to attraction to Krishna. So to take shelter in spiritual master's instruction without karma and jnana, because now we heard Maharaj Parikshit, he neglected, he thought, this is, I don't like this prayaschita and this, engagement in some, to counteracting the my weakness and my sinful activities. So I consider this like taking a bath of an elephant. And then after that, he again pollutes himself with the dust. So then Shukadev Goswami, who actually tested Maharaj Parikshit about his attention. So he was very happy that he didn't accept the prayaschita process. That Maharaj Parikshit was even very doubtful or rejecting it. And then Shukadev Goswami mentions, you know, one has to follow the reject jnana, karma, and accept and take shelter in knowledge. And for knowledge, we need a good intelligence, we need a good mind. That means pure mind, pure intelligence. And for that, we need sadhana. Therefore, Prabhupada, he gave us these books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. He worked so hard on these books so that we can read them regularly, have lectures from it every morning, and also in the evening, Bhagavad Gita. And also regular study of every devotee should be a part of sadhana, to read 1-2 hours from Prabhupada's books. So that we can actually absorb in this knowledge and also relish that knowledge and apply it in our life. So the regular attendance of Bhagavatam classes and also the study, absorption in the Bhagavatam is very, very important. Following the footsteps of the great personality like Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadev Goswami, Prahlad Maharaj. So that's Mahajana path process. So by following that, then we can make gradual progress and become steady in and fixed in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, great mercy that he gave us these books. He spent some time here in Vrindavan personally to write the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, because he knew the mission, my mission of given by Guru is very great. It's a very difficult task, and but I want to fulfill it. Nothing is impossible. And for that, I need the shelter of Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Jiva Goswami. And under their shelter, he wrote a beautiful commentary to the first canto. And actually, in the first canto, everything is included, because Prabhupada, he didn't know, will he continue the Bhagavatam? Will he finish Bhagavatam? He was quite in some age already, 78, like that, or 79. So he gave us all his attention in the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto. So it is full of nectar, and he completed that Srimad Bhagavatam first canto in Radha Damodar. He arranged for the printing in Delhi. Everything he arranged by himself. He had almost no assistant. Money was also difficult to get. Only got whatever donations he got, he put on side. He lived for himself very, very, with minimum. so that he could use this money for printing books. And he could not print even all the books at one time. So we heard this from Brahmananda Prabhu last year, how Prabhupada regularly went with, whenever he had certain amount of money, he went to Delhi more books. He could not print all the books at one time. And gradually he could print more and more of these books, the Bhagavatam. So he had several trunks. How many trunks of books? 2 or 3 of Bhagavatam he had with him. So, and he always had this in mind, this vision, this meditation, I want to go to the West, to follow the Guru's order, Guru Maharaj order, to teach Bhagavatam to the Western people, especially the English people, because they are very intelligent and they are not poverty stricken and they are open, curious, maybe for this message of the Bhagavatam. So he was very determined. As we know, he had to get a ticket for it, and also the green card, the stamp from India, that he even could go. So because you need a certain amount of money, you need guarantee, you need security, all this, you know, insurance, like that. And this was very difficult for a Swami in the age of 68. 68 actually he was, and he was here in Vrindavan and he wanted to go to America. So it was very difficult, but ultimately, because he endeavored so much, and by Krishna's mercy and Guru Maharaj's mercy, he could get all these papers ready. He got all these papers ready. He also got the ticket ultimately to go on this steamship company, Jaladuta, Steam Sky India, from, they were in Bombay at that time, Srimati Samachi. She, in the beginning, she didn't want to give Prabhupada the ticket. "You are too old, Swamiji. What you will do there, what you will eat there in America? They only eat meat there, impure food. You are sadhu, you should live in Vrindavan, don't go to this America, that's crazy. And it's cold winter, you're not used, you're a Calcutta man, Bengali man, you're not adjusted to winter climate in New York City. America's very cold, winter. So you will not survive there. The first winter you will be finished." But Prabhupada, he was so determined. And he was sitting there and like somebody who is on strike, you know. Sitting there on the in front of the office. And every day this lady, she came and asked, "Oh, you're still here. What do you want?" I want to go to America. Give me a ticket." And then after this endurance and determination for a long, long time, then ultimately this lady, because she was pious, she was devotee herself, from Vallabha Sampradaya, this Pushti Mark, so she was a worshipper of Krishna in childhood pastime. So she was she was devotee, and she was actually ultimately, her heart became softened, and she became sympathetic to Prabhupada with his determination, and she gave him the ticket. And then he had to go to Calcutta, to depart from there. And today is this day when Prabhupada departed on the ship to go to the West, to America. Srila Prabhupada ki! Srila Prabhupada, Transcendental Book Distribution ki! And he came, didn't come alone, he came with trunks of books, with Bhagavatam, because he was Bhagavata devotee, Bhagavata paradiya, Bhagavata stane. So if we learn Bhagavatam from the Bhagavata devotee, and can hear from that Bhagavatam and distribute it, this is perfection of life. And ultimately also live this process of Bhagavatam. Distribution is one thing, reading is one thing. Ultimately we also have to live it, try to grasp the essence of the Bhagavatam and apply it in our life. And this is possible everywhere by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He established so many holy places because he was a living pilgrimage place, moving pilgrimage, who was always moving around for all those unfortunate people who could not come to Vrindavan, who didn't know about Krishna, about bhakti, about pure devotional service, because they had so many other literatures and information from all kinds of yogis and new age hodgepodge processes, not very clear, nobody really could understand. But Prabhupada, he came with a clear message, and he didn't adulterate it, he didn't compromise, so he gave the medicine and the process and the recommendation, how say the receipt. He gave as it is, perfect process. So if so many people follow, so many became fortunate, and they also can come to Vrindavan and relish and appreciate what Prabhupada did. And we can appreciate what he did all over the world. So thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Hare Krishna, Grantharab, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.